Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Where are you on the idea that Caleb Williams looked into trying some extraordinary methods to avoid winding up as the Bears quarterback ahead of the 24 draft? According to a new book, American Kings, a biography of quarterback by Seth Wickersham, Caleb's father, Carl, telling him that Chicago is the place quarterbacks go to die in the months before the draft. The family looked into a way around the CBA to avoid coming to town. Caleb told Wickersham, "I wasn't ready to nuke the city," end quote, and became convinced to come here after pre-draft meetings at Hallis Hall.
Yeah, we kind of went over this a little bit. Obviously, it was surprising to have that all confirmed. But I do think that if you just think about it logically, if you were a quarterback coming out, you wouldn't be rushing to get to Chicago. That, you know, the history here would tell you that the middle linebacker position was invented, literally invented, with the Bears, and the running back position, there are some glorious historical figures. Quarterbacks, it's a little bit more difficult, and certainly the modern passing game has been a challenge for a long time with the Bears.
Forever?
So, the first of forever. I think that it makes sense that he felt that way. The fact is he did come here. The fact is his fears about Shane Waldron were realized. The fact is they fired them and they're moving on and we're going on to a new thing. But I think you got to take all that and you got to understand it for what it is. And maybe it helps you kind of understand. I think what's interesting is Caleb Williams saw himself and sees himself as a guy who is going to win, and he's going to win, a lot. And so he didn't want to kind of waylay his career before it started. But maybe now, with the new head of football in the head coach, Ben Johnson, maybe things have changed. I think that's the hope, and that's what you rely on.
When these rumors started flying around, people that bought into them or even brought them up took a lot of grief, took a lot of heat. What are you trying to do here? You're a conspiracy theorist. There's nothing to this. Blah, 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 blah. The only thing, I'm just happy that...
You're speaking from personal experience?
I am, yes, yeah. Yes.
Did we pick on you for believing that?
Yes, you did.
No,
yes, you did.
But doesn't that's all true?
Which part?
You are a nut job.
Oh, okay. Sure. That part's true. But also,
you feel seen.
These weren't my rumors.
We had conversations about this last year.
Right. These weren't my rumors. I just tried to introduce them, and I was kind of given the Heisman, no, we're not going to do that. You are.
By who? David?
I think David mostly. Okay. Right. Wow. But.
Glad we're singling people out.
You know, it's going to be interesting, and we're going to talk about it. It's all about the response. I mean, really, that's what this is about. You know, that's why, as you guys pointed out, very well Ben Johnson was brought here.
Right.
You know, to get rid of all of this stuff. How does Caleb, we're going to talk about this in a minute, how does Caleb respond to all this? I want to go back to something you guys talked about, made me think, which is the whole point of the exercise, listening, in my opinion, to this kind of stuff. You know, who's to blame kind of for all it? I would actually, I'm not saying that Ryan Poles deserves a pass, which he does not, this is one of those, I blame the family. I blame the organization. This is not new. This didn't start with Ryan Poles.
Right.
This has been going on for a long time. Ryan Poles just got the opportunity to direct the ship, if you will. So if I was pointing a finger at somebody of why this stuff even happens, it's the McCaskies.
Well, that's fair. I mean, because everybody's implicated here. Everybody looks bad. Ryan Poles, maybe even Kevin Warren to some degree, George McCaskey and the family. But look, I think if I shot down any kind of speculation about these, it was maybe because I don't think it matters. And I'm not sure that it matters now. What this is confirmation of a father who wanted to get the best situation for his son. It's all about perspective. They resisted the idea of going to Chicago because the Bears are where quarterbacks go to die. That's one way to look at it. You also could look at it, this is where you want to go to flourish. You can be a legend here. You could be the best quarterback ever in franchise history because the bar's not as high as it is in some other franchises. That wasn't the case. The kinds of things that Carl Williams suggested seemed then and they seem now outlandish, ridiculous, and unrealistic. Going to the UFL, come on. You're not going to get...
consulting a lawyer to figure out how you get past the CBA.
How do you do that? Nobody's ever done that in history. Some people will look at the same CBA that Carl Williams was criticizing and say, well, you know, this it's pretty solid for rookies because it gives them what they deserve and they don't have to worry about negotiating, all those things. But all this was confirmation of some of the rumors that were dismissed at the time, and now we know that they were true. To me, it doesn't have anything to do with what's ahead for 2025. I think that's the one thing that you got to make sure. The response is important. How Caleb Williams handles this maybe is significant, but I don't think it has to be something that labels him or stays with him beyond this season. He can dictate how people will think of him by how he plays, not what is said in a book, not what is written or what his father says. Everybody, we're all dads of kids who have, you know, you're proud of your son or your daughter. You want the best for them, and you may say things and try to engineer things to secure the best thing for their futures. Maybe he's guilty of that. Maybe he's been a little bit more overzealous here. I don't look at this as a reflection on Caleb Williams as I do around maybe the people around him. He didn't handle last year as well as maybe he could have, but you know what? He was a rookie, overwhelmed in the midst of dysfunction. So moving forward, everything that matters is what happens next, not what happened last year.
First, I ask questions.
That is the voice of Caleb Williams. If you are Caleb, how would you respond to this report from ESPN.com that revealed you tried to circumvent the draft, wanted to avoid Chicago, didn't think Shane Waldron was a good fit, and was Caleb really watching game film alone?
Maybe here and there, but if he was, that's on him. That's a part of this I think is on him. If you are alone watching tape and you want some guidance and instruction about what to look for, it's not like he didn't have seven quarterback coaches to ask or maybe someone else to sit with him or to help him get out of whatever mess he felt like he was in. The best response, obviously, is winning. Winning, succeeding, being the leader that he was brought here to be, being the professional that he needs to be, all those things, when you talk about success, it is, you know, the best way to have the final word. Now, if you're concerned about the perception right now, it's very simple. Regardless of how I felt before the draft, I learned my rookie season, how special it is to become a Chicago Bear. I can't wait to bring the city a championship, period. Three sentences, he can look forward, make this go away, and just move on.
I agree, David. So you get in front of this now, right? You don't wait till the next time you're sitting up at a podium at Hallis Hall. Jump on a podcast if that's what you need to do, or take to any social media platform, make a video if you want, maybe hire an agent. Does this also kind of scream like you should hire an agent?
He's got a team, but
he has a team of people, right? Are any of them like well-known agents in this league?
Does he have a PR person? I don't think you need to be able to cut a contract to figure out what David just said.
Right, but I mean, we had this kind of same church, different pew with Shador Sanders that we just went through, right? Like, they were supposedly sandbagging the interview with the Giants because they didn't really want to go there. So that's why he supposedly had this bad interview with the Giants head coach, who then told everybody around the league who would listen.
Caleb's got a PR issue. He doesn't have a Shador Sanders problem. He doesn't have a Bill Belichick problem. But he's got a problem. And he needs somebody to maybe help him figure out what to say. But sometimes the less you say, the better off it comes.
Sure.
Across.
Now, he was right about Shane Waldron. Not a good fit, right? That he at least knew what would be and what wouldn't be a good fit. But maybe the reason we talked about in the first segment of the show, why didn't they look at Jaden Daniels? Almost because they were afraid of the reaction from the Caleb Williams camp, if you will, what the reaction would have been. Same thing with the veteran quarterback.
Now, let me tell you
something. Same thing with the veteran quarterback last year.
If Poles came out and said something like that, I think I might fire him on the spot.
Well, then he won't.
Well, I'm just saying.
I think he might have. You
might be onto something, but if they ever admitted that, well, you know, everyone thinks we're stumbling, bumbling idiots, so what were we supposed to do? Yeah, I got to tell you, this is, to me, an old story. This story has changed. We are, you know, it's kind of an ongoing thing. It started out, didn't want to be here, didn't want any part of it, don't really blame them, got here, turned out to be a disaster, ended up on his own. They made amends. They brought in a guy that should be able to coach him up. He should be challenged, and he said that he was going to be challenged, and the coach said he's going to challenge him. So I think actions will speak louder than words. I know he's got to address it. I know that he needs to say something about it. And, David, I would hire you to write that up if I were him, because that's exactly what he said. You don't have anything else going on. You could do that easily. But I just think that if I'm him, I understand whether it was me or my dad or however it got out, now I got something to prove. Now I got to show, you know. And listen, the guy did, let's be honest about it, the kid, you know, he got sacked a ton. He didn't throw a ton of picks for a guy that didn't have much of a chance last year. So you appreciate that he managed to play okay.
Is he coachable?
I think he is coachable. But I think that if he wasn't, I think he got beaten into him last year. I think he learned he needs coaches. So maybe this all will work out in the end, but I think that actions will speak a lot louder than anything he says.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Oh, boy, that's a tough question.
That is the voice of Brad Biggs. Is the entire show out over our skis on the Bears after our guy, Brad Biggs, you just heard his voice there, reported the Bears are only favored in 7 of the 17 games, according to the fine folks at DraftKings. The Bears are only favored in the 6 home games and at Las Vegas. Only one road win?
Yeah, that's weird, huh? I mean, it just tells you, again, this is about perception as much as anything else. The idea of a point spread isn't to pick winners and losers. It's to encourage gambling. The idea is we'll give you this. We'll give you a point and a half if you want to lay that. It doesn't mean that there's any great insight. Now, their numbers are fairly accurate, frankly, you need to defy that those numbers. If the numbers are laid down, if Vegas says 8.5, but you're only favored in 7 games. What does that tell you? It tells you that they're manipulating the line in order to encourage gambling. So I think that you got to kind of take it with that approach. It's not going to be – they don't have an easy schedule. They don't have the kind of schedule you usually get when you finish last in a division. And it's just that's the nature of their division being very good, and they're playing a good division this year. So, yeah, they have the second hardest schedule in the league, tied for the second hardest behind the Giants. So there's – I don't think we're out over our skis. I think we're probably looking at it slightly optimistically. When we go 9, you are out over your skis, especially if we're going 11. But that's, you know, not happened yet.
You're on brand.
Yeah.
Are you in my mind already? Because so a couple things here. If our friends over at Circus Sports Illinois offer a bet on whether or not the Bears will win 1.5 games or more on the road, I'm so down on.
I'd win a half game.
Well, you don't want to push.
No, you got to. So it's either one.
This
or
is
two.
Gambling. This is gambling vernacular here, David.
Okay.
That's
Sorry.
Why. That's why. That's why that
Sorry,
had to come
Dad.
Into play. Okay. I'm going to go back to our conversation with Caleb Williams and tie it into this question. I'm hoping that Caleb is not thrilled about this book. I'm hoping that Caleb is not thrilled with all of this, and I'm going to now up it to 11 wins because Caleb is going to play even harder and be more focused. 11 wins now because of this book. So I'm even going farther out over my skis. This okay. just gave them another win.
If the over-under was 7, you would definitely go over without question.
Yes.
If the over-under were 11, which way would you go?
I wouldn't bet it.
It was 11.5 or 10.
No, I'm just saying it's not because of the half. I mean, okay. I wouldn't bet it, but they would never get any action on the over. Speaking of trying to get money on both sides of it, I wouldn't do that. But I feel even over 9.5. I feel strongly about that. But now I'm at 11 because of this book.
If you're Caleb Williams, you're acting like this never happened. You're just moving forward,
yes.
And you're pretending like this is not.
Well, don't pretend it didn't happen on the field, right?
No, you should be so maniacally focused on being the best quarterback you can be that all this stuff is just noise that you ignore. You are oblivious to anything that Seth Wickersham has to write, that anything your father has to say, that anything anybody's going to proclaim on a talk radio show. You don't care. You are locked in. You're watching tape with whoever you want. If you're alone, fine. You're alone with your thoughts. You are Caleb Williams, fixated on being the best quarterback you can be, the best quarterback in Bears history. That's what you want as a response. Are we over our skis? No, I don't think so. Look, you say 7 of 17 games they are favored in. That's what Ben Johnson is here to do, win the games you shouldn't win. There's a couple games you should maybe not be, you're not going to be favored in. You should win those games because you have a head coach that can win one-score games. Everything in the NFL is about one-score games. How do you do in the fourth quarter? We had a quarterback in Caleb Williams who was pretty good in the fourth quarter. Last year didn't matter because they found a way to lose. It was a losing culture. And then once they started to lose, everything snowballed. This year's got to be different. So I don't think 9 victories is exaggerated optimism. I think that 9 victories is probably the Bears maxing out.
Yeah, I think you the way I looked at it, and I'm sure you do too, David, is they shouldn't have been a 5-win team last year. That was not a realistic look at how good they were.
They probably had 8-win talent.
It was a reflection.
Maybe 9-win talent.
And we said before the year started, they got to have a winning season or this guy's going to lose his job. Well,
he lost his job. They coached themselves into a 5-12 hole.
That's right.
And this year they can coach themselves into a 9 or 10-win season. Yeah. That's the difference.
Wow, that's a great question.
What's the right way for the Cubs to handle Cade Horton over the weekend? Coming off an extra day off and with Craig Counsell playing coy last time we heard from him, and whenever Horton pitches, most likely today, how do you expect him to handle the White Sox lineup?
Ah, yes, baseball. We are here for the Crosstown Series, Cubs and Sox. This is the purpose of this Friday and this weekend. Thankfully, Craig Counsell's not playing around. Cade Horton is starting today, correct? Correct, Dustin?
That's what it looks like.
That's what it looks like? All right. No more games. No more openers. No more worried about the top 3 guys in any lineup. You're Cade Horton. You've got a guy who's probably the best pitcher in your organization, talent-wise, ceiling-wise. Could we agree on that? I think Cade Horton is the guy. Today, he's going to go 5 innings. He's going to throw 79 pitches, and he's going to shut down the White Sox. He's going to strike out 5, and he's going to leave with a 2-0 lead. I think Cade Horton is finally arrived. I hope he's here all season long.
Well, with this Cubs bullpen, it better be more than 2-0, or I worry about that. I also hope, and I think he will strike out more than 5. I'd put it just like over under 6, maybe 6.5. We'll see if we can get that number before we get out of here, what that prop might be. I mean, they're a big favorite today. They're minus 225. They're think 11 runs. Do they already know the wind's blowing out? I understand that, but the White Sox are, I think the word at least right now for the White Sox, they're competitive. I don't think last year they were very competitive. I think now they are at least competitive. And what I've always talked about, you know, you mentioned in the beginning about the two of the better players taking the day off.
You're competitive, Dustin. Nice air of condescension.
That was not a backhanded compliment.
No.
I was trying to be
Go
kind.
Ahead.
They're competitive.
But they rested two guys because I think they want to take, again, the White Sox take this as an organization, take this rivalry seriously. So they gave two of their guys a day off to make sure they were ready to go for the whole weekend. I do believe that. But I think the Cubs will win today. I hope the Cubs will win today. I think David's right. 5 innings, 70-ish pitches. But I just hope he's got a bigger than a 2-0 lead because I am not sold on this Cubs bullpen at all.
Is it Shane Smith today?
It is.
Shane
yes.
Smith? Mm-hmm. He's their best pitcher. And he's been their best pitcher. And he hasn't allowed, I think it's 3 runs or more, I don't think this year, right? He's done very well 7 of the last 8 games. You know, Cade Horton will be fine. He will start. He will throw his 75 pitches. That gets him probably into the 5th inning, that would be the idea, right? Mm-hmm. You'd love to get 5 innings out of them. I think that's what they're looking for. I don't think they'll be, you know, if he can get 4 strikeouts, I think they'd be satisfied and, you know, spread out some hits, maybe give up 1 earned run. That sounds like a really good start to me. I think he can definitely do that. I have not a lot of faith in the Sox. They signed a pitcher overnight, right? Who did they made a trade with the Astros, I believe, for what was the guy's name? Miguel Juarez or something. I should have
Hold on.
Written it down.
The Sox got a pitcher?
The Sox got a pitcher overnight, buddy.
I was busy worried about popcorn.
You were too obsessed with the Bears.
That's right.
But I don't know if is that another. They need help in the bullpen. I just don't know that they have an ability to either hold on to a lead if they get one against the Cubs, or actually be able to close a game, especially against a team that comes back.
The Astros traded veteran relief pitcher Miguel Castro to the Chicago White Sox.
Yes.
According to FanSided, the return is not yet known. Most likely outcome, cash considerations.
I think there's a spot open for him, so I think he comes right in, and maybe we see him today, for all I know.
Okay, next question.
There he is, Ozzie Guillen. He'll be in studio right between Mully and Haw at 9 o'clock this morning, along with his TV partner, Chuck Garfine. Will Venable might have a tough lineup decision this weekend at Wrigley Field. And who is the Sox hitter you expect to have the best weekend against the Cubs at Wrigley Field?
That's a really tough one. That is really tough. Because, you know, you wouldn't think that there is one guy. Like, I don't think they've got, like, a Cubs killer like they had in previous years where you could count on somebody to be able to do something.
Remember the year Abreu hit, like, didn't he 3 home runs in one game?
Oh, yeah. Abreu went nuts.
That was during the
pandemic. Yeah. And they don't have anyone like that anyway.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna have to go with Miguel Vargas and his change swing as the guy that could possibly do some damage in this game. The hand placement. Yeah. He's moved his hands up on his bat. I don't know if you're following it.
I'm following it.
But he's doing
a
lot better.
We hear all about the hand placement.
He's gotten real good. He is really doing much better. They've actually I'll tell you what. You know, as much as you like to badmouth the White Sox, Dustin, David, I'm telling you that somebody there knows something about pitching. And by the way, they might be doing a little something with the bats. So
I do not badmouth the White Sox.
Okay, enough of that stuff. No, I know you're not badmouthing the White Sox, but Dustin, he lives to hate the White Sox. That's why I laughed when he said, "What was your
competitive
as opposed to last year?" Like, yeah, I think we all knew what happened last year, but I'm glad you brought it up.
Just reinforcing it. Yeah. Going back a second, over under 4.5 Ks for Cade Horton. That's the prop that I found so far.
Okay.
4.5.
That's about right.
So I think that's what you said, right, David? You
yeah.
said right. So you said 5. You're going over. I might have to invest this afternoon. All right, as far as this question goes.
I said 4, if that matters.
Yeah, well, then you were going over too, right? And then now we're all
no,
over.
You said it's 4.5.
Right. So you're under.
I said 4.
Would you bet under?
No.
Okay.
I'm not wagering on the White Sox.
Well, that's why I wanted to ask. Okay.
I mean, what are the odds? Okay.
The toughest lineup decision might be which catcher to use and when, right? They kind of have a plethora of catchers over there, or which guy to use and which matchup works,
you know who to use.
Works best.
They rested the guy. Use him.
Okay. I would think he would be there today, but I'm saying over the course of the weekend if we're not talking about today.
I think Theis is your guy because the Cubs running game could be a problem unless you have a guy who can throw up.
And then let's go for Big Timber Tim Elko, right?
Big Timber.
Let's say he's the guy that's going to have a
Big
weekend
Timber.
Over.
Is his nickname Tim Tank or something? I think he has a nickname. No offense.
He said Big Timber.
I think they call him Captain.
How about if they use that for his walk-up music today on the organ today?
You want to stick with Timber?
I'm calling Timber.
I think the toughest lineup decision will be who to play at catcher, I think, because you have some good choices. I wonder where they're going to bat Luis Robert Jr. And I think the guy who is the biggest problem from a Cubs perspective is Chase Meidroth could get on base 2 or 3 times a game because he's just an on-base machine. He's a guy that you're not fearing, but you don't want him to complicate things by he's very selective at the plate. He's a guy that didn't play yesterday, so he's coming in more.
Did Tim Elko do anything yesterday? Did he get a hit?
They only scored 1 run, so
but
I don't know.
He got a hit the other day.
He's not hitting well. The
no,
league
he's
has,
got 2
according
hits,
to Stoney,
I think.
Adjusted to him. He's right. Not adjusted to the adjustment, so I might have to adjust the nickname. Big Timber, more like
Big Misser.
Big Elko.
Broken Timber.
Yeah, I don't know. But the Sox with Will Venable, I think their best lineup includes Meidroth. It includes Vargas. It includes, I think Theis may catch because of the defensive issues and concerns. But I wonder where they're going to bat Luis Robert Jr. in the lineup because he's been all over the place.
So when you just asked that question, I started racking my brain. Off the top of my head, I don't even know.
That is the voice of Tommy Hotovy, Cubs pitching coach. He's going to be up here in just a little bit with Mully and Haw. With Justin Steele, lost for the season. Shota Imanaga down with a hamstring. Who is the best pitcher in town right now? If you needed one guy, one game among the group on either side of town, who's your guy?
This is tough. This is a
currently,
tough,
right? In other words, Shota.
People
would be
who are
answer.
Healthy.
No, well, Shota's not available. Who's okay. Based on who's available?
Who's available in either dugout?
Today.
Yes.
Today.
This weekend. This series.
Right.
I'm
out of these batch of pitchers from both sides of town. This is a tough one. It's not as easy as it seems. You know, Jameson Taillon would have been the easy answer a month ago, but the last 2 starts, as we said yesterday, 7 home runs in his last 184 pitches. That's a terrible ratio. So he's disqualified. I think Matthew Boyd is probably the one that comes to mind. Shane Smith has done his part to enter the chat, if you will. But I also think that you want to talk about being over your skis. If I had to pick one guy rolling the dice to get 5 innings of just be the quality start, Cade Horton might be my guy.
Oh, that's
wow.
Cade Horton might be my guy.
You are a prisoner of the moment.
I am a prisoner of the moment. But we are in the moment. This is Friday morning. This is the question,
so
right?
They got
you wrote
their
the question.
Guy today.
You want to know right now. This moment, this
That's
series,
great.
Give me Cade Horton. 5 innings, shut up baseball, I'll take it.
Well, I mean, your lips to God's ears, David. I think it's Saturday's starter, Matthew Boyd. That's who I would go with. He is cool as a cucumber, reminds me a little bit of Kyle Hendricks, where he doesn't seem like anything bothers him. And, you know, that was a guy that the Cubs gave the ball to in a lot of big moments, and he usually handled them quite well. So my guy would be Matthew Boyd.
Yeah, I think that I think it's probably Matthew Boyd. If I was taking one guy right now for a must-win game right now, but I am for the sake of this conversation, I am going to go with Jonathan Cannon. I think Cannon has started to pitch better. I think that Cannon, I thought he had he
talk
pitched,
about a prisoner
he
of the moment.
Over a, I'm going to finish.
Oh my
gosh. I'll finish the thought. He pitched over 100 innings last year, So I like that he's going to be able to add on more innings. Shane Smith would be the answer, but I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment because he's pitching really well, but I don't know what's going to happen after the break. He might well be the White Sox lone all-star. Everyone gets one. That's the only reason they get one, but he might be that guy. But I think that you probably should take Sean Burke over him if you're taking a Sox pitcher. But I think that I thought Cannon was going to start the year, and I've expected him to get better, and I have seen him, because I watch them a lot, I've seen him improve. And I think that if I were picking somebody right now, he would be the guy I would pick.
He's pitched well lately.
Yeah.
But he needed to. And that spring training was an aberration.
No shadow.
He was really shaky.
I don't know if you're aware of the weather in Arizona.
Yeah, I know. The breaking pitch didn't break and all those things. Yeah.
Right.
Cannon wasn't firing. All those kinds of problems. But that's a surprise pick.
Yeah, I was trying to shock the world.
You did shock the world.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.